Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 13th of October, recording at 4:59 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first a quick review of the week. A stunning, steady performance by global stock markets, which, if anything, have been gathering pace once they experienced brief consolidations near their May highs, if they even experienced the brief consolidations. And in terms of the government bonds, well, it's been a weaker week in here today, and that persists here today. And the U.S. dollar, still firm, it experienced that downward dynamic against the Australian dollar yesterday, but generally it's been steady overall, short covering. And in terms of the oil price, well, still yet to prove that it has reached a sustainable low. We saw oil move lower this week before steadying a bit yesterday, and it's stronger here today, back up to 59.13 on the NYMEX crude. Industrial metals, very firm, three new highs for the year. And also we have precious metals. They have shown some real strength in here today. And the grain and bean complex, strong, still strong. Okay, now let's go back to the big themes here, and I'll develop outwards here from following on from what I said about these strong rallies. It's game, set, and match as far as the medium-term correction being over. It was only anticipated, as you know, for the second quarter and the third quarter of this year, and it all got compacted into that second half of May and first half of June, largely because of the jawboning of central bankers, which created an inflation panic. And we then had about 6 weeks of support building, followed by the August rally, and markets haven't looked back since. The most significant development over the last month, I would say, less than that, last 3 weeks, 2 weeks perhaps, is that the mining sector, the industrial mining sector, and the many of the resources stock markets, which had been looking a little bit wobbly, they have been quite strong in here recently. And we've seen a fairly majestic march from the lower side of support areas right back up to and through resistance in most instances. So really, you know, you've got to go all the way to the Middle East to find genuine laggards. I mean, here in Thailand, which had been a political laggard, or had been a laggard for political reasons, I should say, has had a good week in here today. Okay, now, so what happens next? Well, we've got a little bit of this sweet spot, but the sweet spot can run out fairly quickly here, because those inflationary pressures, which I'd mentioned, would certainly ease, and there was a little bit of humbug in the central bank commentary, but they'd be able to point to the lower oil price, some lower inflation stats, but others are going to push up, other indicators of inflation, that is, are going to push up fairly soon, and it'll be interesting to see how the central banks actually play this. Now, first, the weaker oil price, while it lasts, and it is temporary, is very bullish for global GDP growth for all countries other than the oil exporting nations. Now, what is also happening, though, is that we are seeing, so again, very strong global growth, that tends to add inflationary pressures of its own. The U.S. slowdown is only going to be 2 or 3%. I think next year, if that. And I don't think there's going to be, I don't think China's going to, economy is going to miss a heartbeat here. And India's strong. Well, they're all going to be, I think, on the stronger side of today's expectations. So, as I say, that adds some inflationary pressures. We can see the robustness in the global economy, partly reflected by industrial metals. And that will add some inflationary pressures and add a little bit to the inflationary psychology. But that tends to be industry selective, not so good for the construction side. Well, you can work that out. I don't need to review all the way through that. That's fairly obvious. Now, we are going to see, as I say, oil and precious metals pick up again, and that will add something to inflationary expectations. So that's another factor to look at. And then we have this fairly explosive move on the grains. I'm just checking on Bloomberg here to see a few more of these. Yes, they're all up here today. And when I say, well, the three that I'm looking at, the corn, the wheat, you might have seen those charts yesterday. They have absolutely surged recently. Soybeans are up here again today. So foodstuffs, that will add to the inflationary pressures somewhat. So this is not a problem that's going to go away. I've never said that it would. I've said we're in a long-term inflationary cycle. And you've got the components here: synchronized global GDP growth, lots of liquidity sloshing around the system, and we have this incredible demand for resources. And if anything goes wrong in the production line, well, then blast off and into the stratosphere for prices. So that's beginning to be reflected by a softer tone in these long-dated government bonds. Now, that will the that that softening, the speed with which government bond prices soften, will be very much related to what people see coming from the crude oil price, but it will also be influenced to expectations will be influenced a little bit by the other resources that I actually mentioned. And the move back up for yields is being exacerbated somewhat by the switch from bonds to stock markets. So that's what we have at play here, in play here. And when will the central banks start to become concerned? Well, they're probably already a little bit concerned. More importantly, is when will they start jawboning more aggressively? Well, that's never very far. Well, that's not going to remain far beneath the surface in this environment. Certainly not with recession fears for the U.S. and a knock-on effect everywhere else, with those concerns fading fairly rapidly. And rightly so. And then the most crucial aspect of all this is, what will the central banks actually do about those rising inflation pressures? Well, we certainly know that interest rates are going to go higher at some stage, and robust stock markets and robust growth will certainly cause them to feel that they can go ahead and do that. So we will see. I don't know whether it will be before the end of the year. It depends how quickly some of these resources move back up. Oil will be absolutely crucial here. Watch the oil indicator. In other words, watch that crude oil price. Now, if crude oil were to shoot up, and I think it would probably take some sort of fright in terms of production for that to happen, and that might not last, but it is going to push up the demand for oil. It continues to rise remorselessly. That's not going to change, short of a severe global recession. And that's not on the cards here right now. So the speed with which that pushes back up, that will certainly be an influencing factor for in terms of the stock market cycle. and things can change fairly rapidly in markets. So this is still a bullish environment overall, but some people are going to have some second thoughts fairly soon, again, if that oil price does push higher. Now, again, oil just was still groping for a low earlier this week, and we can't be sure that oil has seen its low. I was looking for a low somewhere in the low 60s, and it's gone lower than that, as we know, but not that much lower overall. But I've said it all. We've got to watch that very, very closely. So let's fast forward ahead. What does happen when central banks do become concerned? Well, they'll jawbone more, they'll raise interest rates a little bit further, and depending on how overextended markets are at that time, stock markets that is, that will trigger reactions, at minimum small corrections, and it would raise the risk of another medium-term correction. Now, these go with the territory. You can't have a stock market move without some over years. You can't have a bullish phase without some medium-term corrections. But ordinarily, and historically, and statistically, year-end, as you know, this year should be quite bullish. Third year of the U.S. presidential election cycle should be quite bullish, and that usually carries into the fourth year of the presidential election cycle. But the inflation factor is going to punctuate that, or the inflation expectations are going to punctuate that. So we're going to have some roller coaster rides. I don't see any bear market. Now, what's going to do best? Well, I think I rely heavily on the charts for this. We've seen Europe first out of the starting blocks, and we haven't seen at all a bad performance from the U.S. And I think, though, looking further ahead, in terms of growth and safety, for me it's Asia, led by China and India. And I've said a lot on that, so I won't elaborate too much here and look at my fund review. Now, the resources sector, which we've had all this hysteria about collapsing commodity prices and how they're going to go down and down, so on, and people think it's a cyclical sector. Well, there's a bit of cyclicality to everything, but this is the growth sector of this decade, next decade, the next decade beyond this one. In other words, 2011 to 20, and quite possibly the next decade beyond that. That doesn't mean it goes up all the time. It'll get swinging corrections because that's what markets do, and there will always be doubting Thomases, or should I say doubting Stevens, Stevenses, and I'm using the first name there. Okay, so Getting onto the government bonds. Everything that I've described is negative for the government bonds. Look at those long-term monthly charts of the yields and also the prices. This is a slowly unwinding secular bear market. And as those yields push up, central banks will become concerned, and that will create headwind for global stock markets. So we're going to have to remain alert here. I don't see any nightmares ahead that would require some sort of horrific exogenous event, and I'm not in the business of forecasting those, and let's deal with what we can see here, not worry too much about that. Okay, going on to currencies. My hunch is that the US dollar has seen the best of its rally, but we are still in the phase where we're getting short covering, and mostly people were short, I think, against the euro and the yen, and that's logical because they had favorable interest rate differentials, and they've stayed away from shorting the dollar heavily against some of the higher yielding currencies. So we're getting an unwind of those dollar short positions, and that's probably going to rotate into longs. So I think we need to be a little bit careful here in terms of those bearish dollar forecasts in the short term. And once people are long dollars, then I think it's going to be very vulnerable. And I also feel that the U.S. will be horrified to, and when I talk about the U.S., I say the U.S. administration, the U.S. Bush administration, the Congress, the Treasury, part of the Bush administration, and the Federal Reserve. So they will not want to see the dollar strengthening very much, not least because of the big deficits. Okay, but short term, though, I wouldn't be surprised, as I've already said, that we see that additional dollar firmness against the euro and the yen before the dollar then heads lower. And in terms of the commodities, so I've already talked about these. This is the mother of all bull markets here in terms of the metals, the industrial metals, and it's going to be mighty impressive for the precious metals. But remember, there's a big investment speculative component to the precious metals cycle, which will cause the choppy action. We'll get choppy action in all of them, but we don't have the shortages of gold, for instance, that we do have for the major industrial metals. We could see that develop for silver, though. We could see that develop possibly for platinum or palladium, but that's well down the road. That's not a factor in here today. But again, these are secular bull markets for the precious metals as well, and they're cheap in here right now and starting to show some life. Now, what would turn these into strong bull markets again? Stronger stronger oil prices, rather. Stronger oil prices would be quite bullish, weaker dollar, but it doesn't necessarily require that. But we cannot assume at this stage that the oil headwind and that the dollar headwind is over as far as the precious metals are concerned. But I do feel that they are cheap in here, and I've increased my holdings in here today because of the improving technical action that I'm beginning to see. These industrial commodities, I beg your pardon, these agricultural commodities, particularly the grain and bean complex, which are certainly important as far as that core inflation is concerned, whether or not people measure it in terms of what actually happens in terms of food prices, it is important. And that's pretty much a weather punt. But we have had, suffice it to say, we've had a number of years of amazingly good crops. And that doesn't go on forever. And it does look like we are seeing some crop problems right now. Corn stocks are low. The Australian wheat crop has been hit really hard, and the markets are reflecting these conditions. And I think that's about it, folks. An incredibly exciting week, quite a profitable week in here. And well, let's look more forward to more excitement and more drama. Meanwhile, I'm going to a major concert and other good things over the weekend, and hope that you're doing some exciting things as well. All the best.